Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. One of the most important things you could do to expand your brand is to build up a team of virtual assistants to help you with various tasks that make up your day. Because if you have virtual assistants helping you with a lot of different tasks, that gives you more time to focus on your priorities. So that's why we're going to focus in this episode on how you can build that better team of virtual assistants. For over a decade, today's guest has helped Fortune 500 companies ranging from Coca-Cola, Home Depot, Nationwide, and many others to attract and hire talent at all levels of their organizations. He now uses his experience to make an impact on smaller companies as the Robin Hood of hiring. He coaches leaders and top-level HR professionals to solve problems with attracting, hiring, and retaining their teams. He is also the host of the Small Business Hiring Podcast, where he interviews top companies, CEOs, and industry experts to share their strategies for building high-performing teams. Today's guest for episode 152 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Brad Owens. Brad, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, Mark, man, it's my pleasure, dude. 152 episodes. Look at me, man. 152. I'm here.
It's a pleasure to have you on. I'm really looking forward to diving into this topic because it's really important not just to have virtual assistants, but to also make sure that you have the right people on your side. So I'd like to get some background first. So when did you first realize that you needed a team around you?
Well, it was honestly one of the very first things that I decided I needed because I, in the past, have not been the most humble kind of guy. I am the kind of guy that back in school, back in grade school, I was the, oh, we got a group project to do. You guys don't worry about it. I got this. You guys go ahead, you know, take the next week off. I'll turn in the project on Friday. We'll be fine. Which works okay in school. I'm sure I got a lot of my friends A's and they loved it and got them passed through school. So whatever. But in the real world, you just can't take on everything yourself. There just becomes a point when you can't do everything. You can't take it all on. And I hit that point very early on because I vowed that when I started this business, which was completely different from all the other businesses I have done, that I was going to do it the right way. I was not going to become the expert in everything. I was going to stay in my lane. My lane is knowing how to help companies hire people. That's it. So anything else, I'm going to get some help with. So very early on, I said, all right, let's figure out who knows marketing. Let's figure out who knows branding. I am okay at that stuff. I can come up with some funny quips here and there. Anything you need that's got a what's the word I'm looking for here? A pun in it? I'm your man. But when it's outside of puns and actual business marketing and things that work, I can't really do all that. So I started out to find only the best, and I had to come up with how to do that. So I leveraged my background to figure that out.
And with that backstory, it's very clear that Brad has he narrowed his niche and he focused on that one area. Like there are some people who they could do just fine, like doing a few different things and spreading out a little bit within their industry. But in some cases, it's better to just narrow in so that you are these specialists for that one area, as Brad is with helping companies attract the right talent. But part of attracting the right talent is knowing where to go to find that talent. So when it comes to you either like hiring someone or working with a company, where will you go to find the right people? Where do they usually hang out?
Well, I want to be able to give you one blanket answer for everybody, but the truth is it doesn't work that way. I can't tell someone in dog grooming that the best person to hire will be sitting out on monster.com, right? I can't tell someone in manufacturing that's looking for a welder that the perfect person is going to be on Indeed. Because the truth is, I don't know where they're hanging out. You know better than I do where they are, but I can help you figure out where that place is. So the breakdown that I would tell all of my clients to do is start with your nearest people around you. Start with your employees that you already have. Start with the people that already know you. Start with the people who are already customers or clients of yours. These are people who already know your business, who know you, and who know what will really fit in with your organization and fit in with your culture, which is, you know, as we'll get to, the most important thing for you. So people who know you and know how you operate and how your business operates, start there. So I always suggest that all my clients do some sort of referral program. Say, okay, anyone who knows me, go out there, spread my message, spread my brand. And if you come up with someone that is a perfect fit for this organization and they end up staying here 3 months, I'll cut you a check for $500, or I'll buy you the newest iPad, or I will send you to the best dinner in town, whatever it might be. You have to have some sort of incentive there. Now, ideally, you wouldn't have to incentivize anyone, but that comes later, hopefully. But you know, at the very outset, I'd say start with your network, because time and time again, study after study after study shows that the best people come from your referral network. That's where you're going to find your best employees. Now, after that, you could start blanketing it out to the crazy sites like Indeed or ZipRecruiter. I like ZipRecruiter because it goes to 100 plus job sites. And you know, you really have the best possible reach using a tool like that. But some of the popular ones are Indeed, obviously ZipRecruiter. You've got local job boards around there that work really well for specific cities. Everyone's got their own. In Northeast Ohio, we've got one called Career Board, which has actually started up here. It actually has expanded nationally, but still has a really good presence in Northeast Ohio. So you just got to really Google around and try and figure out where local job boards are for you. You'll come up with one that might even be a specialty for you. And you can do this all really, really cheap. You know, most people are like, oh gosh, well, you say ZipRecruiter, but it's $300. Not until after the 4-day free trial, right? So you go out, post your job to 100 plus job sites for 4 days. I get my clients anywhere between, you know, maybe 100 to 200 resumes within that first 4 days. And then you stop your trial and you don't have to pay them anymore. Sorry, ZipRecruiter, but you know, if everyone's using your service the way they're supposed to, I mean, that's what I can get my clients. And then you go out to Craigslist. Craigslist is $25 per job posting, and it runs up there for a month and a half. So for $25, you can have your job out there for everyone that's right around you. And Indeed doesn't have to cost money. They make it really hard to do, but you can post your job on Indeed for free. And yeah, you're not going to get the same results as someone who's paying $20 a day or whatever it might be, but you'll still get some. I've had clients fill jobs just using Indeed's free job slot. If you write the right job ad and are attracting the right kind of people, you'll get it filled. So it's really just all up to the company. And I know that's a long-winded answer to tell you there's really no one way, but yeah, this is what I can geek out over for hours and hours.
And you start with your network, you expand from there. Regardless of how big or small you are right now, you are going to come to the point where you come in contact with someone who may be a good fit for your company. So how do you recommend getting the potential hire who, like, you want this person on board? How do you get that person to say yes and join you?
Well, hopefully you're attracting the right person from the start. How I tell all of my clients to go about it is, you know, make sure that you're not trying to hire someone. Now, let me clarify all of this. I truly do believe that the best companies don't hire, they attract. Think about Facebook. Think about Amazon. Think about all these places that have positions open right now where you know that anyone would work there at the drop of a hat, regardless of what that job is. I mean, I've had people come to me and say, you know, in my former job when I was a recruiter, like, I will work for this company. I don't care if I have to sweep the floors. Those are the kind of places that you want to create. You want to create that kind of place that will have people trying to climb your walls to get in there and work for you. So one of the, I guess, the easy ways to go about starting this is how to get that person to work for you is to start from, you know, the very, very outset, creating this kind of place, this kind of culture, this kind of place that really attracts just the top talent. And how you do that depends on the kind of people that you're trying to get in there. But as long as you're offering a workplace that provides some impact, so they can truly tie what they're doing in their job to the bottom line of your company, if you can provide some of that impact, it's great. If you can provide growth, so they're not going to come in and be the same I guess, the exact same role for the entire lifetime of the time they're working for you, you'll get people. If you provide some sort of challenge, so someone who comes in that gets hired for a specific skill set, which is how most people go about hiring people. They say, all right, I need this person to come in and do accounting. I'm going to look for people who already know how to do accounting. That's great and all for you, but for them, they don't. Most people don't want to be doing the same thing 5 years from now. So offer them some challenge. Offer them something new, something exciting they can sink their teeth into. So challenge is a big one. If you're offering up autonomy, if you're saying, hey, look, I'm not the kind of person that's going to be looking over your shoulder. I'm the kind of person that hires people because they have a skill that I don't. And this is exactly how I started hiring too. I knew that I didn't have a skill in marketing or whatever else. So I hired this person and said, look, here's what I want to accomplish. You tell me how to get that done and go fly before you do that. So make sure that you're offering them up some sort of autonomy. And then in this day and age, you gotta have flexibility. So if you're hiring these virtual assistants, they can work from home. That's some serious flexibility. If you're hiring someone who absolutely has to come into your office, make sure that you're not doing that 100% of the time. If this is some hourly job that they have to be at whatever your Starbucks or whatever it is you're opening up, then make sure you offer some flexibility around the shifts that they can work, when they can come into work, when they can leave. You know, have people come in early, leave early, come in late, leave late. So offer that flexibility. And then, you know, the big elephant in the room is pay. Pay attracts people. If you pay better than anyone else, they're going to come be a part of your organization. Now, I get a lot of pushback when I start telling small businesses that are just starting out, hey, pay more than everyone else, because they really don't have that money. And that's fine. So that's why all of these startups and entrepreneurs out there are starting to offer up these equity shares and profit shares and bonuses around certain performance metrics. So I suggest a three-pronged approach. One, give someone a base salary, a base pay, whatever it is it's going to be. Pay them for the very, very basics. I call it kind of your living wage of your company. So pay someone the very basics. Make sure they're not going to be nervous for their livelihood or their family's livelihood. But make it so that it's very, very bare bones. And then offer a bonus structure around a few different things. One, performance. Obviously, if they're hitting their goals, you should pay them more. If they are helping other people achieve their goals, you should pay them more. If they are offering more to your bottom line, you should pay them more for that. If they are doing things that coincide with your core values, pay them for those. And make sure you're reinforcing the behaviors you want to see with these bonuses. And then some sort of profit share. I always, in my company, say I'm going to set aside 10% at the end of the year. I don't care if you're a janitor or if you're the top producing CEO or whatever it is, you're going to get paid out of that 10%. We're going to do 10% divided by the number of employees who are here, and that's it. So everyone has a hand in how this company's performing. If we don't have a profit that year, you're not going to see any money. So it really, really ties people into their jobs. So those are the big things that I feel like you can offer in your workplace to really attract the right kind of talent right now.
And with attracting the right talent, I mean, you could have a really talented person working for you, but if that person doesn't know what to do for you, you're not clear on what they are going to do, then it doesn't matter how great they are, they're not going to do what you expect since there's not clear expectations. So how do you recommend we train the people who are on our team and the newcomers so that they are able to perform at a high level, they bring us to the results that we want, and the communication is in sync?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, because there are a whole lot of failures in the small business world just from purely not setting correct expectations and not setting correct goals. So I was actually working with a client recently that I helped them hire their very first employee. And this wasn't the first time they employed someone, but in my mind, it was the first time that it was going to go well, because I got them a very good cultural fit for them. They were like best buds from the first time they met, and I just knew this was going to go really well. And then 3 weeks into this person being on board, I get an email from my client, and they say, things just really aren't going well. I think I'm going to have to let this person go. And alarm bells start ringing with me. I'm like, oh no, how in the world, after 3 weeks, do you already know that things aren't going well? So I call this person and they start telling me, okay, well, they're not doing what I want them to be doing. And they're not able to do this stuff on their own. And I feel like I have to keep hovering over them and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, well, let's put all of that behind us. Just answer me one question. What was their goal this week? She said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what were they supposed to do when they came in Monday morning to accomplish for you by Friday? So, well, I don't know. I said, well, there you go. It's like, how can you say that they're not doing very well or this person's not performing up to what you want if you haven't told them what you want? So to be a fantastic manager and a fantastic delegator, you've got to be a great goal setter. So just go out there and Google smart goal setting. Smart goal setting is where it's at. It will be the game changer for you and your business. And most companies, the problem arises when you set those goals and then do no follow-up. So I like to add in that managers create smart goals, but it's their job to make them smarter. So they have to evaluate and they have to readjust. So if you add the evaluate and readjust at the end of smart, you get smarter goals. So for you as a manager, for you as a person who's going to outsource some work, for you as a person who's going to delegate some of this work, doesn't matter how it works, make sure that you're setting very, very clear goals and clear expectations for the people you're handing this work off to. And then make sure you evaluate with them very frequently. Now, I say people should have touch points with their team. If it's a team under 20, at least once a week. You can set aside a half hour to talk to your employees about how their goals are going, what you can do to help them achieve them, and start figuring out some ways that you can get them over those points where they just feel stuck. That's your job. It's your job to help them really understand what they should be doing, how they should be going about doing it, and helping them through their problem areas. That's a supportive manager. That's what you should be doing. So evaluate with them at least once a week if it's a team under 20. If it's not, you can even go to every other week. But you notice I'm not saying wait till the 90-day review like typical HR people will. Or, hey, you've got your yearly review coming up once a year. Are you kidding? Get in touch with your people. Talk to them. You hired them. They're the backbone of your business. They are the only reason that things are spreading beyond just you and your time. Give them the time of day to help them with their problems. Now, if you feel like, oh, I don't have enough time to do that, guess what? It's time to hire again. Throw in some more people on your team and delegate some of your employees to them or promote somebody that you've got to put some people under them. So it's all about managing the expectations, all about managing the goals. And it's your job as a manager to take their smart goals and make them smarter. So you have to follow up with them, evaluate frequently, and then readjust as necessary.
It's really interesting that you mentioned setting these weekly goals. Like, I feel like we get the idea of daily and weekly goals for ourselves, but setting them for the people who are in our company, that's also very important to ensure that they're getting the work done, as you pointed out. So that's a really great takeaway for anyone who's got a team of assistants and employees who are getting a lot of the tasks done. And those goals will obviously have a really big effect. But one of the things that I want to talk about, because you mentioned like hiring more people, some people may not have that budget to do so. And I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back, most business owners, from reaching their full potential and being able to make the revenue where they're not worried about making the next payment to everyone on their team?
If you can figure that one out, you let me know. That's a tough one. I mean, it all comes down to money in the bank, right? It really does. And you know, I'll be completely transparent here. When I started this whole business, I did it completely wrong. I thought I knew everything. And you start out with this huge team and everyone goes out and sells stuff and brings in revenue and everything else. And it doesn't happen that way every time. It just doesn't. Now, best case scenario, it would have, but it didn't. It didn't grow as fast as I wanted it to. It was growing well. We were making good money, but not enough to support the team that I wanted from the start. So I had to scale back. And you know, I told everyone, hey, look, my bad. I'm learning how to become a brand new leader. This is tough for me. You know, I still want you guys to be a part of this. So I just converted everyone to contractors, and I just worked on a project by project basis on when I needed them. And you know, the time will come that most of those, if not all of those people, will come back as full-time employees here because we'll make some more money. But yeah, all of the companies that initially are going out and thinking, oh, I don't have really the money to support someone full time, that's fine. I've talked to companies that have been voted best place to work that a third of their employees are all contractors. You can do that. You can have contractors if it's just contract kind of work, but don't expect the same kind of heart and commitment to your brand that you would if you brought this person into the fold and made them a true blooded employee. So it's a little bit different. Now, getting up to the point where you know you can support all these people, let me just give you my basic break down math here of when I say it's time to bring someone in based on purely just financials. Now, this is only for people who are like, oh, I don't know if I have enough money to support this. So if you are hiring someone for your team that is a revenue producer, now we'll say that's a salesperson, that's a person who is a marketing person that will get your product and bring in buyers. If that's a person who's creating something that's going to be sold, I typically like to tell people have about 3 months worth of pay for that person in the bank, cash. Not like, I mean, you, obviously a loan and everything else is fine too, but any way of paying that person for at least the next 3 months, because it takes typically about 3 months for that person to get their wheels under them, start actually paying for themselves for generating revenue or whatever it is they're going to actually generate sales through. So about 3 months. If they're not, if this is just purely a administrative person, if this is just doing an extension of what you already do, doing some sort of accounting task or just a necessary evil of doing business, have about 6 months worth of pay for that person in the bank. So, if you're paying that person 40 grand a year, have 20 grand in the bank. And then by about the time that 6 months comes along, you'll have taught them everything they need to know. They'll be just flowing in your business. You're able to actually open up more time by that point to start bringing in as much revenue in addition to what you were bringing in before, because now you have that off your plate. You have more time to be able to do things that you're probably going to be covering them with the extra revenue that you're bringing into the business. So if they're a revenue producer, actually making money for you, 3 months. If they're not, probably about 6 months. That's just a very, very general rule. It's different for every business, but that's probably what I'd suggest for most.
And you mentioned how it wasn't necessarily a smooth road for you for the entire journey. And you mentioned how you hired a lot of people in the beginning. And that was one of the big mistakes when you were first starting out. But I am wondering if you could share with us an additional challenge that you faced in your journey as you developed into this leader with his own team and helping all these Fortune 500 companies. So one of the big challenges you faced during that journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
So I learned quickly very early on that there is a difference between being a manager and being a leader. Being a manager is very much a person that takes their ideas, says, here, you make them happen in my way. A leader is a person who does things together as a team. So I have always and will always from the start called my entire group a team, because I truly believe that we are a team. We should focus on things as a team. I don't think that there's anyone that's ever above anyone else. I don't think that there's ever a point where we should ever be focusing on, hey, let's do everything according to this vision. We are who we are because of the team we have created. And in the beginning, I had a hard time with transitioning from this guy who was the high schooler that did everything in every single project to allowing people to run in their lanes, which they specialized in. And I was the manager who said, okay, this is how I want my business to be. This is what I want it to look like. This is what I want to provide for all of these amazing small businesses that are struggling with things that they shouldn't have to struggle with. I want to provide all these solutions for them. And I took this to about, I think it was 3 or 4 different marketing groups, and it was trying to bring them in as contractors to actually do all this work for me. And every single one of them said it wouldn't work. So I left those meetings going, these quacks, they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. This is going to work this way. And I had to have this moment with myself because I like to say all the time that if you're the only one in the room that thinks something is different, you're probably the one who's wrong. It's tough to assess that, and not every time it's right, but you're probably the wrong one there. So if I'm going to these experts and not trusting these experts' opinions, what does that say about me? How hard-headed is that? So I said, all right, let's try this. I'm going to go back to the person that I truly trusted in all this, who I really felt a good connection with, a good cultural fit, who I thought respected my brand and would actually do right by it, and I'm going to trust them. I'm going to give them a month. I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to be a good leader here, not a manager. I trust you to do with my brand what you say you're going to do in the best interest of me, myself, and my brand. Surprise, here we are. And they've done very, very well and have marketed this product exactly how it needed to be marketed, have put together just a fantastic brand. And that's not something I specialize in. So I'm very glad that I was able to become a leader and not a manager and allow input from other people that are other than myself and allow them to have their part in this business rather than me standing in their way, which I was literally doing, literally telling them no, because you don't want to do it my way. That's what my four-year-old does, y'all. Come on. So I had to truly be a leader and back up and say, all right, take the reins. I trust you. Go for it.
Brad, that is a really awesome story and a great message there, because there are going to be some people who know more than us, and we don't want to stop them from doing things that will help our businesses grow, because in the end, we do want our businesses to grow, not just for message, not just for our revenue, but I feel like you also develop a bond with the people who are working to help spread your message, and your business's success helps to put the food on other people's tables who are working for you. And one of the things that I feel is really important is self-education. And one of my favorite ways of doing this is by reading a lot of books. So with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Ooh, three books. Okay. Chuck Blakeman, who I actually interviewed on my podcast, if you want to go see that. You can catch it at Small Business Hiring, by the way. Just search for Chuck Blakeman there. You'll be able to see this. He wrote a book called Why Employees Are Always a Bad Idea. And it's not that employees are a bad idea. It's just thinking about them as employees is a terrible idea. So it's a mindset shift around not hiring people who are just there to do the job, but hiring people who are there to further yourself and your brand. And honestly, you hear a lot of that coming out in all of my answers here. So, you know, I really think that that read, until I write my own book, will be the perfect read for people to get into. And so it's Chuck Blakeman, Why Employees Are Always a Bad Idea. Let's see, another book just came out, and honestly, I just interviewed this person as well, believe it or not. Ryan Paugh and Scott Gerber created a book about... I've got it here behind me. Let me see. It's called Super Connector, and they're all about how to stop networking and start making relationships that matter. And what they propose in that book is that most people go into networking events or small business groups or whatever it might be with this whole stack of business cards, trade business cards. They're all super nervous walking into the room. How do I talk to people? How do I do this? I'm so bad at icebreakers. I don't know what to do. And then they walk out, you know, in just cold sweat and think, oh, I really hope something happened. You don't have to do it that way. You don't have to network that way. There's so many other ways that you can create business relationships that'll work for you. And they outline a whole bunch of different amazing ideas in this book called Super Connector. So I really think that you should go out, check that out. Ryan Paugh and Scott Gerber, Super Connector. That's an amazing one. The third book, oh man, that one's going to be a lot harder because they're what's going to make the cut. Let's get philosophical on you here. Wherever you go, there you are. It's by Jon Kabat-Zinn. Now, this is a book that's a bit out there for most people if you're not really into mindfulness and meditation, but I think it changed a lot for me. So when I had my now four-year-old, I had a really hard time with focusing on the now. I was always worried about, okay, am I doing the right things for him later? It was right around the time that I was juggling two businesses, getting this one off the ground. I was thinking, oh man, I need to be able to do this, need to be able to do that, and I need. And then I read this book because I was like, man, I'm all over the place. I need to start figuring out how to focus on now. And wherever you go, there you are, just truly did it for me. It started helping me realize that the present is really the only thing that matters. And it's the only thing you can change and the only thing you can affect. So focus on the present, be in the moment. And once you affect that, you'll affect the future. But you have to make sure that you're present in the moment first. And it changed the relationship with my kids, changed the relationship with my wife, changed the relationship for this business. And yeah, it's really done a lot for me. So if you guys are looking for kind of a different perspective on how to focus on the things that are important for you, wherever you go, there you are, I'll do it.
Brad, thank you for those great book recommendations. All those book links and the show notes will be over at markbirdie.com/E152. And if you guys want a content marketing book, you guys can also grab my book, Content Marketing Secrets. That book is available on Amazon over at markgabirdie.com/book, which will also be in the show notes. And before we conclude this episode, Brad, I would like to ask you a question. And mind that I've asked you several questions throughout our time together. So what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Why not? Ask yourself, why not? When I was starting this whole thing, I got really nervous. I got really nervous that, oh man, I put a lot of eggs in this basket. It might not work out. But when I started the whole thing, I had to sit there and convince myself that there's no reason not to try. Just try. Just do it. Be like Nike, right? Just do it. Are they still using that slogan? Is Nike still doing just do it? But whatever, we'll say they are. So just do it. Just try. It's the whole fail fast philosophy. It's the, if you go out and do it and it doesn't work, so what? Try something else. Switch it up. But why not? Why not just try something? And my wife, I'll give her full credit for this. She had to sit me down and tell me, look, this might fail, but what if it doesn't? And look at me now. So it didn't, and it did very well. So try and ask yourself, why not, multiple times, and you'll get down to the point of just, well, why not? Let's try it. So why not?
Brad, thank you for sharing that great question and all of your great insights with us. And Breakthrough Success listeners, if you guys want to hire the right person every time and learn how to do that, Brad has a free guide at yourinterviewguide.com. So if you want to hire the right people who are going to grow your business, be sure to get that guide. Again, yourinterviewguide.com, which will be in the show notes for this episode. Brad, I cannot thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us. Thank you for taking the time to be a guest on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
All right, so welcome. Such a great time. Thank you.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgoberti.com/retweets.